begin with hymn number 13, verses 1 and 4.
Good morning and welcome into the house of the Lord. Do we have any greetings?
If I can take greetings when we go to Virginia next week.
And then take our greetings then. And that's next week is Skyline Drive, and Phil is going to be the speaker at Skyline Drive, so keep him in prayer also. October 18th and 19th is the elders meeting in Toronto, and we plan to be there for that. And are there any updates that for people that need to prayer? And so we were going to do that in to have a sheet in the back that if you have a prayer request that it could be written on that sheet. I don't think it's there now, but we're going to do that in the future, and we'll pray for those needs. Quarterly mission focus is Argentina. The collection is for the food pantry, and also the foundation is doing. We'll do a collection for the Hurricane Helene victims, and so that's one way of helping there is to have the foundation give that to there. And we saw some very devastating things that that people's houses were gone or were full of mud and all kinds of things that happened there, and we should keep those in prayer also. And then we have the afternoon prayer meeting today. And also the teacher's availability sheets are out, and they are due back next week. And we have Wednesday Bible study at 8 p.m. Is there anything else that needs to be announced? If not, pray for Brother Harry as he would have the service this morning. And do we have another hymn before we have the service? Does someone have a hymn?
Which one is it?
Thank you.
Good morning. Father, we come before you with thankful hearts that you have been with us already in this day to guide us through Bible class, leading Brother Mark to make us think about, are we willing servants of yours? Do we give excuses for not following your leading? Do we say, I can't or I won't do something? That's clearly the wrong attitude, and we pray that we would be willing to be your servants as Zechariah and Elizabeth were. And now we ask that you would, as we open scriptures again into the Sermon on the Mount, that you would guide us and teach us and direct us to what we all need to hear, to what I need to hear. May you, Lord Jesus, be our teacher. May you be our guide. We pray for the many that are suffering from the hurricane. And we pray for the many that are suffering with unrest that is in the Middle East. And we do know that it's only going to get worse and not better until you return, Lord Jesus. And we do look forward to your return. We pray all this, Lord Jesus, in your holy name. Amen. 3 weeks ago, I read Matthew 6:25-34, and we looked at the problem of worry and being anxious or anxiety. And after the service, I heard that I looked at anxiety too simplistically. For some people, it's not working. I don't think it's working.
Don't
be anxious. Don't be anxious. Okay, let's try it again. My service on looking at worry and being anxious as too simplistic. For some people, anxiety is not just not having enough faith. For them, anxiety is draining, and they are unable to function properly. The Apostolic Christian Church of America, what we call the Sister Church, has a counseling service. It's called the Apostolic Christian Counseling and Family Services in Morton, Illinois. The director of this facility is a clinical psychologist and also a minister in the Morton, Illinois church. And according to their website, the organization has professional counselors, lay counselors, teaching staff, and office personnel providing information, teaching, support, consultation, and or counseling to address hurting, emotional, spiritual, mental health, and relationship issues, as well as providing resources for growth in marriages, parenting, relationships, and spiritual lives. And I've known about this for many years, but then this past week, I went and listened to one of their podcasts on anxiety. And I don't know enough clinical terms to explain anxiety, but in simple terms, there are three levels: mild, moderate, and severe. Mild anxiety is normal, everyday events that can cause stress. It is sometimes called situational anxiety. And when the situation, the event passes, the anxiety goes away. Many years ago, we were coming down past Wooddale County Park. It was dark out, and it was just Cheryl and me in my little car, and all of a sudden there was a car over on the left where the tennis courts were, and all of a sudden he turned his flashing lights on. I said, uh-oh. And I have to admit, my anxiety level went up. Okay, you know, you go down the hill, the speed limit's 40. Was I going 45? Was I going 50? Why is he stopping me? Sure enough, he came, told me to stop. Thankfully, he said, one of your headlights is out. So I was being anxious, but for not much of a reason. And when I went home, I looked, sure enough, there was no headlight. So I had to get that repaired. Anyway, so the situation passed, anxiousness went away. Even before that, Cheryl reminds me of this sometimes. I was outside with the kids, the girls. They were 2 and 3 years old. I was trimming bushes, and all of a sudden, there comes a stranger with Suzanne in her hand walking up to me. I said, what's going on here? She says, they were driving by, and Suzanne had walked out into the street. 2 years old. I clearly wasn't paying attention, and my anxiety level went way up. I thought they were in the backyard having a good time on the swing set, but I was busy trimming bushes. Anyway, there are many times when I've stood up here to preach or teach, and it's a good thing I'm wearing long pants, so you don't see my knees knocking. The stress of having to do something like this can cause anxiety. So that's minor anxiety. It passes when the event passes. I think dry mouth is also a symptom of anxiety. Moderate anxiety has more symptoms than just knocking knees, heart palpitations, sweating, being irritable. But again, when the situation passes, the anxiety usually goes away. Severe anxiety, though, makes it difficult to complete everyday tasks. Severe anxiety can also be called anxiety disorders. And that's part of what counseling service in Morton, Illinois takes care of. And a panic attack is a type of severe anxiety. And this morning, I looked at their website again, and I know it's small, so you won't be able to see it. But they showed basically levels of anxiety from 0 to 10. There's the green zone where you're calm and emotions are in balance. Rational thinking and decision making is clear. And then when it raises, the yellow zone is stress and tension. And then the red zone, high tension, high alert. Emotions are driving the show. Rational thinking and decision making is poor. Believers with severe anxiety know these verses in Matthew chapter 6. And let's read them again before I go on. Matthew 6, starting at verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto a stature? And why take ye thought or raiment for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Believers that have severe anxiety know these verses. They know that God is able to take care of them. But whatever is causing that severe anxiety just overwhelms their lives. They can't think straight. They know that Jesus is the answer, but coping with their current situation is very difficult. And praying more doesn't help. And I think about those that are suffering with Hurricane Helene and just the devastation that's around them. And, you know, what do they do? And some of them are stuck, can't get out of where they are. Their houses are in the mountains. The house is almost destroyed. Their driveway is destroyed, so they can't get... I mean, talk about high anxiety. And then tomorrow, October 7th, is the one-year anniversary of the attack in Israel. And then all that's happened since then. And how many families have been devastated by all that's going on there. Talk about high anxiety that they must be experiencing, not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow, if they're going to live tomorrow. It's almost too hard to think about. Believers who end up going through severe anxiety many times experience shame. As a Christian, they know they shouldn't be anxious. We've just read these words here in Matthew, and we know in Philippians it says, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. God will take care of us. We know that. But if a Christian is experiencing severe anxiety, they're afraid to admit that. And, you know, nobody wants to know that I'm feeling this. And they end up suffering in silence. And then the anxiety even increases. And many of us, me especially, don't really know how to deal with someone who is going through, who is overly anxious. We may give flippant answers or comments like, as, just do this and you'll feel better. Just read the Bible more. Just pray more. Just trust Jesus more. Or maybe even in a condemning way we say, you're not praying enough. We may have a lack of compassion for the person going through such a difficult period in their life. And then this can make the anxious person even more anxious because they are praying. They are trusting in Jesus. They are, but they are still stuck. They just don't know what to do. So I listened to that podcast, and they say that many Christians don't seek counseling soon enough because they know, again, all these verses, and they're afraid to admit that they need help. And, you know, basically they were encouraging, if you feel stuck, if you need help, don't do it on your own. Seek out help. And people who are anxious feel bad about being anxious, and at times they feel that they are bad because they're being so anxious. The scriptures that they read are not comforting, and so they have a difficult time to cope. And, oh, I'm sinning because I'm being so anxious. And it's just a vicious cycle. So the minister that leads that group told his own story. So I'll tell his story for him. In 2017, he had a heart problem. He needed open heart surgery. And after meeting with the surgeon and talking about options and what to do, his anxiety level skyrocketed. He thought about his surgery from the moment he woke up, all through the day, and while he was falling asleep at night. It was just there constantly in his mind, causing him anxiety. It was impacting his sleep. It was impacting his ability to concentrate. It was impacting his ability to trust. And he felt shame for feeling all of this. He was a Christian. He was a minister of the gospel. He knew God was in control. He read scripture. He prayed, but nothing helped reduce his anxiety. And he had even more shame because as a professional, he was an anxiety specialist, but couldn't reduce his own anxiety. He was stuck. The Morton, Illinois church has a early morning prayer meeting every Sunday. And so he was reluctant to tell them, but then he realized he had to tell them. And so he mentioned it at one of the prayer meetings of what he was going through, all the feelings and the emotions he was going through. And he said, what a blessing it was. Just, I think, to admit it to his fellow believers. And the support that he received from that prayer group, he said, was phenomenal. They took him as he was. They didn't look down on him. They didn't give him a hard time because he was their minister in going through this difficult time. They had empathy for him. And then he said he even went to his family doctor to explain the whole situation. And his family doctor provided some short-term anti-anxiety medication so that he would calm himself down. And he said as his anxiety came down, he could process things better. When reading the word and praying, he was able to better understand and trust that God would take care of him. And then on top of it all, he said, going through this experience as a clinical psychologist, it helped him so much identify better with his patients who were going through difficult times. He said, my prayers for these my people are so much different than they were before I went through this event. So I'm going to wrap this up by saying that we all know that we need to trust Jesus in all things. But when times get difficult, when situations in our lives get so hard, there's nothing wrong with seeking help from our brothers and sisters to pray for us, or even professional help to give us the tools to cope with a situation. And one of the things that they said for this, their organization, is that they look for proper clinical treatment and proper biblical treatment. The two have to work together to treat people properly that are going through difficult times. It's not just one way or the other. I think most secular would be clinical treatment, but they want to clearly meld in the biblical treatment to follow the teaching of the scripture. And now I want to spend a little more time on Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In the past few weeks, as I was going through my own daily Bible reading, I noticed that many Old Testament writers had encouraged their people to seek the Lord. And so I did a research on how many places does it say to seek the Lord, and there were over 70 that says seek the Lord. And I'm going to read a few of them here now. 1 Chronicles 16:11. This is where David was bringing the ark into Jerusalem, and he wrote this psalm that's recorded. He spoke this psalm that's recorded in 1 Chronicles 16. In verse 11 it says, "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually." And if you look at David's life, you can see the times when he truly sought the Lord and the comfort the Lord was able to give. And you can also see the times when he forgot to seek the Lord. And he ended up suffering, and he made many mistakes and had to live through the consequences of those mistakes. So he encouraged the people to seek the Lord continually. 1 Chronicles 28:8-9. And here's where the Lord is speaking to Solomon. "Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. And for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." And again, if you look through the life of Solomon, you can see the times when he sought the Lord and the times when he did not. And again, he suffered because of it. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Very famous verse that we've used many times. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." This is God, again, speaking to Solomon at the dedication of the temple. The need to continually seek the face of the Father in heaven. 2 Chronicles 14:4 from King Asa. "And commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment." And it's interesting. Many times it's both things. It's seeking the Lord and following the commandments. It's not just seeking the Lord in a thought process, but it's following through and actively acting on that seeking by doing His commandments. 2 Chronicles 20:3-4. King Jehoshaphat, when armies were coming against him, and Jehoshaphat feared, he was anxious, and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. The whole people of Judah came together as a congregation to seek the Lord and His guidance when they were being attacked. 2 Chronicles 34:3. King Josiah, at 16 years old. "For in the 8th year of his reign, While he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. He began to seek the God of David his father. He had learned as a young boy. He became a king at 8, but he learned that following the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah, was so important. And it was here when he was 16 that he actually made a concentrated effort, that it was recorded in Scripture, to seek the Lord and provide guidance for his life personally and also for the kingship. And then in the Psalms, there's many in the Psalms. Psalm 9:10. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. What a promise. When we seek the Lord, he will not forsake us. He will be there always, guiding, showing us the way. Psalm 27, verses 4 through 8. Again, King David. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock, and now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Psalm 34:10, again King David. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Another verse in Psalm 84:11 says something very similar. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and mercy. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I wonder if those two verses, Psalm 34:10 and Psalm 84:11, is the source for Jesus in Matthew 6:33. They both say, seek the Lord, and he will withhold no good. The word thing in the King James is in italics. That means it's not in the Hebrew. He will withhold no good. He will provide the good that you need, be it raiment or food or whatever it is, as we read in Matthew 6. He will provide the good that we need. And if you think about it, as we go through life and we think, you know, this will be good for me. And then it doesn't happen. And then we get disappointed. But maybe it wasn't good for us. That's why God didn't allow us to have whatever that was. And that's where, again, we need to trust. I thought this would be good for me, for my family. But it didn't happen. These verses say he will not withhold anything that is good. So it wasn't bad, but maybe it wasn't good for me. And we have to trust that God knows what's best. Psalm 63:1, King David again. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. King David had such a rich vocabulary in describing what it means to thirst and to hunger after God. You know, you think of Psalm 23, you think of, as the heart panteth after the water, so my heart panteth after you. You know, as the deer, you know, pants for the water, so my heart pants for you. You know, he knew that he needed the Lord every day of his life. Psalm 105, verses 3 and 4. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. The constant reminder, time after time after time, the need to seek the Lord. Proverbs 28:5, King Solomon. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all. They understand all. And we know that God is the one who gives wisdom. And we need to seek him to have that wisdom, to know how to truly live here and now. Isaiah 55:6-7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. As we seek the Lord, we have the promise that he will pardon us. As we seek the Lord Jesus Christ and put our faith and trust in his shed blood and sacrifice, he will pardon us. And we have the assurance in our hearts, with the Holy Spirit living within us, that we have been forgiven. Amos 5:4-6. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal. Pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall be surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live. We know that is truth. We know that as we seek the Lord here, we shall live a better life here. And then even more than that, we know that we shall live a better life in eternity, forever, because we will be with the Lord forevermore. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seeking the Lord is a major theme in the scriptures. John 14:6, Jesus said, no one comes unto the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way to the Father. As you and I individually in our private time read the scriptures, may we seek the Lord in these scriptures, because they are truth, they are life. May we see the truth that applies to us to calm our hearts and to guide us on how we should live. Let's close by singing hymn number 62, verses 1 and 2. Apostolic Christian Hymnal number 62, verses 1 and 2.
We are mindful today of many who have anxiety, many who deal with great stress because of things that are happening in our land, and our prayers need to go out for them and to them, to God only, but on their behalf. Anxiety is something that's of the mind, is something that's difficult to nail down and understand, and we need to be open with our anxieties with one another and need to have compassion and not say, you know, just have more faith and look to Scripture. Those are all true and we all know that, but we need to be real with one another when we have those feelings and then be more gracious to those who are dealing with not only anxiety but depression and issues of the mind, the issues that are difficult to comprehend. More compassionate, less judgmental toward those. But the key point here for us, for those that are dealing with that, and for all of us, is to seek the Lord and to do His commandments. And those are action items. Seeking the Lord. What does that mean? In when Paul was talking to the those that were on the Mars Hill, he said, I just had it up in Acts. He was saying to them, seek the Lord. He is not far from all of you. It's not like God is hiding from us. He's there. He's revealed in Scripture. The truth is there. But we still have to put our effort in and our understanding of growing in Him to learn about Him more and to build that relationship. It's effort. It's something that we do. It is certainly His Spirit that works in us, and it's certainly Him that calls us, but we can't be idle and just wait for it to happen. We need to be active in His vineyard, active in seeking Him and in doing His commandments. In Psalm 63, the first verse, O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee, my soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. He is the source of our strength, the source of our life, and our soul, even our flesh that wants to wander off and do its own thing. There's something in us that wants to be made whole with God, wants to be made complete with God, and to seek other things. It's just foolishness and not fulfilling. So for that, I think we all need to be mindful of and be active in our seeking God and doing His commandments. And with that, let's arise for a closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word this day. We thank You for Your calling and calling those who seem incapable to being called, for calling Zechariah and Elizabeth to be parents of John the Baptist, and the amazing thing of what happened with them, and then the amazing thing of what happened with Christ's birth. Lord, miracles and meaningful things that led to where we are today, what we have today. But Lord, we are still called to seek Your face, to seek You out, to have You fully revealed and fully established in our hearts, that You would be our first and foremost prized possession above all else, that will last through eternity, that will last when we see You face to face. We pray that we would be active in Your word, active in Your kingdom, Lord. Be Your hands and feet to those in need. We pray for those that are doing that now, to those in North Carolina and other places where there's devastation, and those that are really anxious because of hunger, physical need of physical things. And pray that those who would help would be bringing sources of life physically, but as well spiritually. And just pray that we would all have a heart to serve, a heart of love, a a heart to be active in your vineyard, a heart to seek you and have our hearts filled with you above all else. We just thank you now for this message. Pray that it would grow in us, not just be here in this hall, that it would be taken with us and actively sought out as we serve you and desire to serve you and have desire to be completed with you in us, to be found blameless, not of our own accord, because Jesus has shed his blood and redeemed us, and his robes of righteousness are upon us. We thank you for that, and we thank you for the love that we have, and we thank you for this presence. We pray a blessing on our lunchtime meal as well. Pray that you would bless us and bless our thoughts and our sharing with one another, fellowship, and pray that we would be gathered together for a prayer meeting this afternoon as well. Pray all this and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.